I mean, I would just open it up, just like boom, boom, boom.
But once we get started, it's very important with projects like this that there be a sense of mutuality in the room. We're all building something. We're building it together. And with any team, you do need a captain or a foreman or something like that. For one of them to step out and be that person, it might be uncomfortable within a group of peers. So it's always easier for them if somebody was to come in and be that. That's really cool. You know, harmonically speaking, that's really cool.
And rhythmically.
We'll just do them long like this for now.
Sure,
and if they feel like they're too long, we'll cut them down. And I really like going from the jazz to the really tight bit, right?
Deep Purple rode the crest of the tidal wave of musical innovation in the late 60s and early 70s. Back then, guitarist Ritchie Blackmore and keyboard maestro John Lord played alongside Gillan, Glover, and Pace. They were harder than Zeppelin and faster than Sabbath. But that purple wave was never an easy ride. Despite numerous splits and reformations, by the early 90s, Ritchie Blackmore decided to quit.
It all came to a head and he tore his Japanese visa up and said, that's it. It was quite, as you imagine, a big moment in the dressing room afterwards.
Nobody made Ritchie leave. To this day, I really don't know whether he meant it or it was a bluff, and the bluff didn't work. But I just hope he's happy.
I got the feeling that between him and probably a lot of the old fans that without Ritchie, Deep Purple couldn't exist. And that's what really fired us up. No, we're going to carry on.
Basically, we said, look, to our Japanese promoter, look, Ritchie's not coming. We'll still come. Who would the Japanese people love to see playing with us? Who's their favorite guitarist at the moment? He said, no, very simple, Joe Satriani.
I got a phone call from my manager who said, you know, I got a crazy one for you. You know, are you sitting down? How would you like to, you know, replace Ritchie Blackmore and Deep Purple? And I said, oh, that's ridiculous. Nobody can replace Ritchie Blackmore. And I hung up and that was the end of it. And then, of course, 30 minutes later, I was going crazy. I was thinking, wait a minute. I get a chance to play with the original Deep Purple? That's insane. I should do it. So I called them back and I said, you didn't tell them no yet. And they were like, no, we were waiting for you to call us back.
That was a great experience. Joe really gave us a big boost that we could actually work and we were all worth it. The name of the band was worth it.
Over the course of a few months, the whole joy of music came flooding back into the band. It was just fantastic.
But then we thought, well, we proved that, you know, sad as it was, there is life after Ritchie. And if it's good, people will accept it.
Standing next to Ian Gillan now, And I'm watching him rule the audience. It's just amazing how great he was as a performer and a singer. And so I just kind of, you know, I put on my seatbelt and I went for a great ride with these guys. It was great. It was only two tours, though. It was the short Japanese tour and then the two-month tour of Europe in the summer of 94.
Joe couldn't join us because he had commitments over a year ahead, and by now we didn't want to stop again. We wanted to keep the momentum going.
And so we thought, well, you know, who else? We can't keep Joe. Let's ask the really good guys. And everybody had a list, and the first name on the list was Steve Morse. Well, let's ask Steve.
My manager called and said, how do you feel about Deep Purple? Well, I like them. Why? Very, like, suspiciously, why?
Steve Morse had been voted the world's best guitarist 5 times in a row by Guitarist magazine, but had a style of playing that was vastly different from either Blackmore or Satriani.
So I was intrigued by the fact that they were obviously going outside the mainstream if they were inquiring about me.
Before he'd even played with us, I met him for a photo session, and he said, what do you want from me? I said, I want you to be yourself. You can't really be in a band if you're pretending to be someone else. You have to be yourself. You have to be natural. And he said, yeah, but I play lots of different things. I said, great. You know, it's all right. Welcome aboard.
We got to the arena and had a little, I guess, sort of a rehearsal. And before we even rehearsed, we just started jamming around with something. And I'm playing something, and all of a sudden, you know, John just has it. Wow, okay, cool. And so I play something again, he has it, and then he spits it back at me with a little variation. All right, that's cool. And so we were kind of playing off each other, you know, in a way that reminded me more of an advanced jazz keyboard player than a guy in a rock band. So I was pretty surprised. And Ian Gillan comes up and like, all right, you know, just giving me encouragement, you know, a vocalist giving a guitarist encouragement. That's usually not done, you know, from my sort of limited exposure to vocalists. Was it the, you know, the best place for a guitarist is just off the edge of that stage, you know? So I was pretty happy with the way things were going on, and I was just blown away that the musicianship was high.
And Steve's only query about it was if he could still go on stage in T-shirts and jeans. And we said, yes, you're quite welcome to use the T-shirts and jeans.
It went as good as it could possibly go. That's how I joined the band.
And that's one of the greatest things that happened when Steve joined the band, because prior to that, there had been no humour. Not since the early 70s. Just maybe 69, 70 and 71. And then things got pretty dour in the dressing room.
I always wanted to be in a band with 5 people around and everyone kind of throwing ideas. And that hadn't happened for a long time in Purple until Steve joined. And all of a sudden, literally we were standing in a circle in the studio and everyone sort of contributing. How about if we did that? No, how about now? That's a good idea. But me, you know, wonderful feeling. We were born again.
Guitarists are a dime a dozen. They could have had lots of different guitarists and more flashy guitarists and way better performers, you know, but the chemistry is super important.
And it was just amazing to see Ian Paice, his rascally, mischievous, ridiculous sense of humour just emerging again. He just popped up, the same as John Lord did. John blossomed again when Steve joined the band. It was fantastic.
This footage, shot by Ian Gillan, is from the writing sessions for Deep Purple's first album with Steve Morse.
So I thought what we could do is, you know, if Steve goes kind of I do a sort of, you know, don't we?
Yes. Come.
That would be okay. The middle eight, you know?
Okay. Okay, well, lyrics that immediately come to mind is, tumble dry, going round and round. Tumble dry, going round and round. And then leave a gap, so it's like tumble, dry, going round and round. Tumble.
Fantastic. I think we've got something here.
Although Tumble Dryer didn't feature on the album Perpendicular, it went on to be the biggest selling single of 1994 in Weirdistan.